Some still images are so striking you only need to see them once to store them in your mind forever. Think of the man standing in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square in Beijing 30 years ago. That was not one of Dorothea Lange's pictures, but that was the kind of talent she had for earlier viewers. Lange documented the Great Depression in the years afterward, and she's on the other end of the camera lens in a documentary called Grab a Hunk of Lightning. It is the creation of Dorothea Lange's granddaughter, Diana Taylor, who is a filmmaker in addition to being a granddaughter. Diana, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Oh, lovely to be here, Jeffrey. Thank you.
So Grab a Hunk of Lightning was Dorothea's own expression. What did it mean?
It was a moment in her life where she stepped out from her portrait studio and took a chance to film in the depression-filled streets of San Francisco. And that was just, it was a dynamic moment for her. She set herself a goal to go out and photograph, which she'd never really done in the streets, and capture some powerful images, put them on her wall, develop them, put them on her wall, and do it all in 24 hours to grab a hunk of lightning.
Oh, really? So to really capture a moment.
And that changed her life. That changed the course of her life. At that point, she left the portrait studio. She still did some portraits, but basically went out and remained in the streets. And as we know, in the Depression era, work in our country for the rest of her years.
And then perhaps the most famous pictures are the ones of the woman with her children in San Luis Obispo County. Just looking for all the world, like, wow, where is the next meal coming from? And she really didn't know.
And yet that woman did go on to, because of some of the wonderful the publications that published that photo, a lot of money did flow in toward the migrant workers and the conditions that they were facing there. So conditions did get somewhat better, although we're still facing things today, as we all know.
Sure.
The migrant population.
But that's a great lesson for people to think, well, I'm not doing these people a service by taking their picture or reporting on them, but yeah, actually you are.
Right. It's true. But at that time, what's interesting is that people from the government were welcomed because the government was coming to help. And now people are very suspicious about the government. And so Dorothea would say, I'm from the government.
Uh-huh.
She had a way of saying it. And because she was, in her young years, had polio, because she was very petite, she had a limp, she was able to befriend people and gain their trust quickly.
I understand from reading Elizabeth Partridge's bio that the double lens reflex camera also helped.
Yes, it did, because she looked down. In other words, she wasn't looking at her subject. She would hold the camera in front of her and look down, and then the mirror would, you know, show her the image that she was seeing, and that allowed her to even be less obtrusive and less aggressive for her subjects.
Which is a big difference from holding a camera right in front of your face, which is what you tend to do with it with a single lens reflex now.
Right, and then what we do with cell phones, which is to shove the phone straight out in front of us. Dorothea would, you know, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I wonder what she'd think about that, huh?
Well, I think she'd love the democratization of the camera and what it can do and the stories that it can now tell because it's so accessible to everyone. But I think she'd also be staggered by the sort of insult of the amount of images that we are bombarded with every day.
It is quite a cascade, yes,
yeah.
That is for sure. What do you know of the process, Diana, that Dorothea Lange used to find her subjects?
Well, she, as you know, she was hired by the Farm Security Administration, which was part of the New Deal in Washington by a man named Roy Stryker. And there was a historical unit that was spread of photographers, a historical unit of photographers that was spread all over the country. They covered the entire country, and she was primarily on the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest and somewhat in the South. And so she was assigned to cover areas and to see what she could find there. And so she would go and literally drive into farm fields, wherever, go very slowly, finally park the car, and then walk into an area and discover what was there.
Do you know if she ever posed or staged people?
She did not. And that's been an interesting question. There are some theorists who say, oh, she must have posed migrant mother, but she did not. She never posed people. Yeah.
Yeah, I was struck particularly by a juxtaposition, and it was hard to believe that one of them was posed anyway, but it was migrant mother with a picture through the Landau window in the back of some wealthy person's car. And the facial expression was so similar, and the position of hand on face, that kind of thing.
I know, and that was a moving, that was a funeral cortege moving by, I believe, if it's the one that I think you're speaking about. And that was on the move, or the woman was parked there. I don't know exactly, but it was not posed. Dorothea, you know, she photographed me and and all my cousins a great deal, and never posed us ever. And the Migrant Mother series of photos, there are seven photos, and when you study all seven of those photos, you can see that she didn't pose that one.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Dorothea Lange here on the Jefferson Exchange with Diana Taylor, who is not only Dorothea Lange's granddaughter, but also the maker of a documentary film about Dorothea Lange and her amazing photographs from the Depression onward. The film is called, as Dorothea Lange once said, Grab a Hunk of Lightning. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So let's get into the fact that you are her granddaughter. I have to believe you've been around her photos all your life.
I have been.
How vast a collection is this?
It's a vast collection. There are holdings at the Oakland Museum, at the Library of Congress, at the National Archives, at Columbia School of Photography in Chicago. There are some at the Getty. It's a vast collection, and then there are some small family holdings left, but mostly everything has gone to institutions. And the Library of Congress collection is the largest, thousands and thousands of photographs. But the more the ones that are less known actually are the National Archives collection, which is the collection which includes the Japanese internment work that she did during the Japanese internment. When the Japanese were interned in the West on the West Coast. Very staggering bit of history for us to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, are you still surprised by things in the collection that you haven't seen before?
Oh, gosh. it's quite staggering. In fact, I went back and looked at some of the work that she'd done in your area. You know, in 1939, she photographed in Oregon and in Washington and on the border with Idaho. It's an extraordinary body of work, beautiful, beautiful work. You know, when the road that came up over, which is now, I guess, 5, was still a dirt road, the pass coming up, she set out in 1939 and photographed that entire region. And the photographs were quite remarkable, and I hadn't seen a lot of them. And so I was very moved by it. Plus, she photographed some landscapes of some of the clear-cutting that was going on that early and some of the early dam efforts, which, of course, she was highly opposed to the dams and was into the 50s and 60s. Yeah,
it's really interesting to think about, because here she was employed by the federal government for a chunk of that time, and so was Woody Guthrie singing songs in praise of the Bonneville Dam, for example.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
I know, because she was really in support of the small family farm. And she and my grandfather, that was their main effort, was to keep farmers on their land and not have them be, you know, supplanted by some other major agri corporation or dam efforts. And she could see the writing on the wall. And, you know, today we're beginning to know that we should pull down dams. There's a section in my film called Death of a Valley, which is about a dam that was put up in California, where an entire beautiful farming community, absolutely verdant and gorgeous, that entire community was forced to move. And they'd been there for generations. And, you know, it became just a reservoir. And none of those people recovered. And that land, which was so valuable and would be so valuable to us today, is no longer.
Diana, what got the project started? What made you decide to go ahead and make a documentary about Dorothea Lange?
Well, she is my grandmother, and I have to say that I started as a still photographer at a young age because I inherited her camera. But the pressure of being her granddaughter, not necessarily from the external world, but from my interior world, because mm-hmm. I'd seen her work so much, had stood beside her in the dark room, I couldn't produce profound work. And so by the time I was 21, I put the camera down and didn't touch a still camera until I was in my 30s. But I did start cinematography at that time, a sort of an early woman behind the cinema camera, and found myself immediately gravitating toward documentary issues, I should say social issue and social justice issues. And all during that time, I thought, I should really make a film about my grandmother. Am I ready to do it? And I wasn't ready until a little later in my life, when I felt that I could both handle the scholarship about her, begin to understand, put her in a larger context than just my childhood memory. And she was a challenging grandmother. She wasn't warm and fuzzy. And she really challenged me to look and to see, and was always asking that I calm down and pay attention and look. And instead of getting a hug or a kiss. You know? And so I had to reconcile my childhood memories of her with the sort of larger context of what she was contributing to American history, and also my grandfather's work, which I really wanted to include, which also was the great fight for the migrant farmer and the migrant worker.
Mm-hmm. Who shot the motion film that went into the motion film actually of Dorothea Lange herself?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful filmmaker named Phil Green, who was a young man at the time. He and Dorothea became friends. He was her teaching assistant when she taught for a year in the early 60s. And he took it upon himself to start doing this gorgeous black and white 16-millimeter material of her, you know, sporadically over a period of 3 years. And I found that material in his carport in rusted cans in Mill Valley, California, and set out to restore that footage, and the sound had been separated from it, and oh my God, it was a long a long journey to get it all so that it could be in the film and in the way that it is, which is what was so wonderful, is that she could tell her own story as opposed to a lot of narration happening. I mean, she really can represent herself in the film, and that's what's so marvelous.
She truly can. The she we're talking about, again, is Dorothea Lange, who is the subject of this documentary by her granddaughter, Diana Taylor. The documentary is called Grab a Hunk of Lightning, which was an expression that Dorothea Lange used for talking about capturing a moment. I mean, really grabbing a hunk of lightning. It all makes sense when you see this and hear this. So was Dorothea interviewed for this, or did she grab a separate tape recorder to tell her story? What was the process there? For the original film.
For the original, they came to the house often. The filmmakers, Phil and another cameraman, and they set up a recorder and they would interview her. And they'd interview her, or they just did observational shooting. She was preparing her one woman retrospective, career retrospective for the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and she was also very ill at the time. Those last 3 years, and so they came and went and documented the process of her working with the chief of photography at the time at MoMA, John Zarkowski, in planning this one-woman career retrospective, which was the first for the Museum of Modern Art to do a career retrospective of a woman photographer.
So this gives us a chance to actually hear the voice of Dorothea Lange, and we did crib a few seconds out of the trailer you provided online. So let's listen to Dorothea Lange talking about an approach.
When I said, I am trying to get lost again, I really expressed a very critical point of departure. That frame of mind that you need to make fine pictures of a very wonderful subject. You cannot do it by not being lost yourself. I am trying to get lost again.
That's a really interesting approach, getting lost to make good pictures. And how do you interpret that, Diana?
Well, exactly that. And in fact, she talks later in the film about being invisible, about putting on an invisible cloak and moving around the world so that she can observe, not as if she's spying on people, but so that she doesn't confront them in any way. And that really was her approach. And as I mentioned earlier, she was capable of doing that because of her limp. She grew up in the Bowery. In New York, she walked the streets of the Bowery and had to make herself invisible there as a little girl meeting her mother at the end of the day, who worked in a library near there, and she had to walk for an hour or so through a difficult part of New York, and she said she learned to make herself invisible at that time, and I think it served her very, very well with her subjects, and she just had a lovely quality when she worked with her subjects. They began to trust her.
You mentioned that she was not warm and fuzzy, and in fact, just within that trailer, we didn't play it, is a story of you showing some great stuff off the beach to
right.
to your grandmother,
and
so she kind of treated you like a junior photographer.
Yeah, I was very excited because I watched her observing things all the time and photographing all the time, so I thought, well, I could gain her love and her praise by presenting in my hand, my open hand, some shells and stones and putting that out in front of her and saying, look, you know, and expecting her to go, oh, that's marvelous, you know, that's marvelous, Dee, she would call me Dee. That was marvelous, Dee. Look at, instead, she said, I see them, but do you see them? And I looked at my hand and I realized that she was asking me to look deeper into what I had collected, and then she photographed it. I never got the hug I was hoping for, and I kind of walked away feeling a little confused, I will say. And it really has played a big part in my own life, I'll say, in terms of how we look at the world, and do we really see what's in front of us, and do we take the time anymore to really pay attention to, you know, what's right in front of us.
So you did take it to heart, but I mean, was part of you also thinking, boy, Granny's being heavy again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then later, it was 2 days later, I lost her favorite kitchen spatula at the cabin, too.
Whoops.
At the beach. And that was really, really not good. And I had to spend 8 hours looking for it. I can't even remember. I remember being just so humiliated that I don't even remember whether we recovered it or not, but I remember that she was really furious.
I get the sense from this work and from the bio that I mentioned by Elizabeth Partridge, who was on a few years ago, that Dorothea Lange did not judge. There was no judging in her above her subjects.
Oh, never judging about her subjects. Oh, heavens no. Although I think she felt she was definitely, I want to say, on the side of the migrant worker. You can see in some of the photos she is judging, and it's all very subtle what you see, perhaps a white sharecropper plantation owner who has his workers behind him over his shoulder, the black sharecroppers behind him, and you can feel the aggression of the white plantation owner. So there are times where you see it, but in most cases, she was very empathetic, I think.
So just a few seconds left here.
Yeah.
I noticed that there was a Southern tour with the film earlier this year. Is it ever televised? Are there places people can go see it or just have to buy it?
Right now they have to buy it, although I'm hoping for a film, a showing in Ashland, and I will definitely let the station know if that comes to pass. We've been working on now going to various colleges and universities with the film.
Okay, hope to see you here. Diana Taylor is the granddaughter of Dorothea Lange, who is the subject of her documentary, Grab a Hunk of Lightning. Thanks so much for joining us today, Diana.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
All right, take care.